for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday afternoon, December the 31st, 2014. Carla B. Todd is the speaker of the afternoon, teaching on Church, It's Time to War. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
But whenever God gave me that dream, after that, when he came to me with a threat, I would start praising God for just, Lord, if he said he's got all three of my kids and he's alive, and that means he does not have all three of my kids. And you do not have all three of my kids. They all belong to Jesus Christ, and they will serve him all the days of their life. I don't care what it looks like right now. That's how you get rid of the devil. That is a violent reaction. It's not just, get thee behind me, Satan. Most of the time it's like, I'll tell you the process. He comes with a thought, projects it, and then we start thinking on the thought. And then we think it's our thought. And then we have this inner turmoil, which has an effect on your physical body. And then this is what you hear. Well, I just feel like he's got all three of my children. I just feel so defeated. I just feel this and I just feel that. You start noticing how many times people say, I feel so weak, or I feel. We can't go by our feelings. You've got to go by what you know. And sometimes what you know doesn't line up, or what you see doesn't line up with what you know. So we have to be smarter than him. We have the wisdom of God, after all. Matthew 12:29. Or else how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Bind means to be in bonds or tie up. In Matthew 18:18, Jesus said, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Brother Pittman was talking the other night about the heaven, and the air is where the battle takes place. That's called heaven. In Genesis, I thought that was really interesting. Let me just run over there and read that. About creation. In verse chapter 1, verse 8, it says, or let me just go to 6. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. See, that space between what we call heaven and the earth, where the waters on the earth, he divided the waters. I remember when my son, who was really smart, and I'll just give you this as a little extra. My daddy, when our first boy was born, you know how you are with your first baby. You bring him over to grandma's house, and he's sleeping, but he makes a noise, and everybody jumps. We're all going to go check on that baby, you know. My daddy would get tickled. He'd say, that baby's smarter than you and Mike put together. And see, that was supposed to be a gig. But what he was doing without knowing it was he was blessing our child with great intelligence. And listen, we need to bless our children like that. Amen. Not with that intent. But you know, I bless the children with obedience. I bless them with intelligence. I bless them with the ability to learn and to recall. I would pray for my son before he had a test. I put my hands on his head, and I would bless him with the ability to recall everything he had learned in class in order to do well on the test. He graduated valedictorian from high school. Amen. He graduated from A&N magnum cum laude.
Amen.
He graduated, he made such a high score. I'm not bragging on him, I'm just telling y'all, you can bless your children, and it has effect. The same way it does when you say, you'll never amount to anything in your life. You're so sorry. You're so lazy. We know from being here the effect that has on people. So we need to begin to bless our children because there's power in that. Anyway, he makes a high score on his MCAT test, which is the entrance exam for medical school, that other colleges hired him to come and teach, and they paid him. Flew him all over the United States, teaching kids how to get ready for their MCAT test.
Amen.
So that is proof right there that it, you know, my daddy thought he was making me and Mike feel bad, but, and he is, he's smarter than Mike and me put together. People say, how in the world did he come from y'all? I said, well, you have to understand biology. See, there was a I have a recessive smart gene, and Mike has a recessive smart gene, and it got together when Wade was born. Okay, we're not even supposed to joke like that, but every once in a while, it's good for a laugh. Okay, so Matthew 18:18 says that we can bind and we can loose. So I start with Satan. I bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless for my day today.
Yes.
And when you bind, it's bound. It's bound. Dr. Null used to teach about binding. He said, this is how I learned out about binding. Dr. Null was a mighty man. He used to be here. He's dead now. But he said that one night he was laying in bed thinking on the things that he was learning. And it was, the lights were out, but, you know, in the spirit you can see these eyes looking at him through the bedroom door. And then the legs started coming in. It was like a tarantula. It filled up the whole room. It was real big. And it was just standing over him in his bed. And he said, being the mighty godly man I am, I put my head under the covers. He said, and then while I was under the covers, the Lord said, you know, you can bind that thing.
Yeah.
And he said, I can. He said, so I lowered the sheet this much. And I said, I bind you in Jesus' name. And he said, these huge angels came carrying these huge chains and bound that thing up. And see, if we could see in the spirit realm, we would see those things.
Yeah.
So we need to start binding.
Yeah.
And loosing. Except you first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Spoil means plunder, to pillage, to spoil, to strip, to take the goods of an enemy by open force. That's what happened to our house. I mean, the devil came in and he spoiled our house. That which is taken by theft, robbery, or fraud, that which is taken from an enemy by force. But see, that's what we need to do to the enemy. You know, we sing that song, I went to the enemy's camp and I took back what he stole. Oh, well, we get into it too. And I was sitting right there in that empty chair and I just stopped cold in my tracks. And I heard this song. I said, Lord, who do I know that actually went to the enemy's camp and took back what was stolen? You know, we have been robbed from and robbed from and robbed from. It's a fun song to sing. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Now, he was whipping us silly. Stealing from us and robbing from us. I know I'm not the only one. Lord, what's the deal? We're tithing here. Your word says. And yet, it was like we had a hole in every pocket. Every time we got a little bit ahead, something would happen and we'd be right back down. What is the deal? Well, I'm going to tell you about the enemy's camp. God gave me an open vision of the enemy's camp. Because I said, is there an enemy's camp? Where is it? If there is, where is it? How would we get there? And how would we get our stuff back? So one day I was praying, walking around my house. Inside, I could go from the kitchen to the living room, to the hall, entrance, dining room, back around, walking and praying. And I had an open vision of the windows of heaven. They're huge. They're up there. There are shutters, but they're wide open. And the blessing for God's people is being poured out by God. But guess what? Satan has a big old demon assigned to stand right under that window, and he's funneling the blessings of God over into his camp. You know what it looks like? It looks like one of those old car junkyards. All those rusted cars, and they have a fence around it like somebody's going to come get them. I never understood that. But it looks like that, only it's not junky cars in there. It's jobs, it's promotions, it's houses, it's raises, it's everything that God wants to bless us with. And Satan is funneling over there, and he's standing at the fence with a toothpick, and he is laughing us to scorn. Because we don't have the slightest idea that we're even being robbed from. We're asking God, why are you doing this to us? No, it's the enemy. So when I saw that, buddy, I got violent. I said, I don't think so, Satan. In the name of Jesus, I command you to loose everything you've ever stolen from us. And you know what? When the thief is discovered, he's got to repay double. Job was restored double. I know there's other scriptures, 7, 10, 100, whatever. I'll take the double. Hey, I'll take the original. But hey, double? Yeah. You've been discovered, so you owe me double. Now I'm calling in every. I send out the harvesting angels to go and bring everything you've stolen from us into our house. Well, you wouldn't believe the things that would start happening. That's a whole study in itself. But there is an enemy's camp, and I advise you to sit down and make a list of everything the devil has stolen from you, and then go to the enemy's camp and bind him and command him to lose your stuff. And I sent out the warring angels to remove that big old angel under the windows of heaven so that God's people could get their blessings. It's a real place. And we have power over him. It's time to use it. 1 Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. You hear that? War a good warfare. I was crying out to him daily when hell came to our house. One day he interrupted me. God interrupted me. Why are you crying out? Why are you coming to me with this? That was his question. Why are you coming to me with this? I was stunned. Well, who else is there? And then I remembered the scriptures about Moses with his back to the Red Sea. Because I remember, I marked it in my Bible. I found it interesting that God interrupted Moses. But now he was interrupting me. And he had a question for me as well. You know what he said to me? I was crying out about my kids. He said, did I say to you that if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, that you would ask me to move your mountain? You know the scripture I'm talking about. It says, if you have faith as of a grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say to the mountain. Exodus 14:13. Let's look at that. These were lessons. He was teaching me how to war. You know the picture. He's delivered them out of Egypt. They come to the Red Sea, they can't go any farther, and Pharaoh's coming back to get them. And they're freaking out, all these people. So Moses, the leader, he's standing there. I can see him up on a rock. He's holding that staff, he's got his arms up. Fear not, Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. And I bet he took a breath to say something else. And in verse 15, God said, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Why are you crying out to me? But speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Now that seems a little impossible. There's the Red Sea. All these people are facing Moses and the Red Sea. He says, he told him to do something impossible. And how many of you have a situation in your life that seems impossible? He told him to, he said, but lift up thy rod. See, we've been given a rod of authority. God gave him that staff. It was his staff, but he took it, and God put his power, his authority, and permission for Moses to use that to perform miracles. That word rod, it means for ruling, such as a scepter. A scepter is a staff borne by a sovereign as an emblem of authority. We have that in Jesus Christ. It means royal or imperial authority or sovereignty. So he's telling Moses, lift up thy rod, stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. See, he was training Moses how to fight too. We need to be trained to fight. Raise up thy rod. David used against Goliath the name. I come to you in the name of the Lord God of the host of Israel. See, we come in the name of Jesus. All Moses had to do was obey God. God did the rest. He's just waiting on us to do. But we're sitting and asking God to do what he has given us the power and authority to do. I think that's why we don't see more prayers answered. Because we're asking him. We're waiting on him, and he's waiting on us. Church, it's time to war. Mark 13:8 says, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be earthquakes in diverse places, and there shall be famines and troubles. These are the beginning of sorrows. See, that's where we are now. Kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness against the kingdom of light. Kingdom against kingdom. The kingdom of darkness. Who is the king of the kingdom of darkness? And the king of the kingdom of light is Jesus. The word kingdom means properly royalty, abstractly rule, or concretely a realm, literally or figuratively. You know, the kingdom of God is a realm within a realm. We're on the earth realm, but the kingdom of God is a realm right here in this earth. Jesus walked in it when he was here. He demonstrated it to the disciples. Let's see what he did. Well, he walked on the water. He took money out of a fish's mouth. He multiplied the loaves and the fishes. See, those are kingdom things. And he demonstrated those things to the disciples. And they got some of it, but they didn't get all of it. When Jesus stood up and said, peace be still, to the storm and the wind and the waves calm down, and they're like, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And he's like, oh, you have little faith? You can do it. They just didn't get it. I'm getting it. It's time for the church to get it. Revelation 12:7, and there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out. Here again, very specific about who the great dragon is, so we don't get any wrong ideas. That old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens and ye that dwell in them, because Satan wasn't there anymore. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. That's us. We're the inhabitants of the earth. For the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war, listen to this, with the remnant of her seed. Now he tells us who those people are, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's us. Went to make war, to bustle, literally or figuratively, a single encounter of a series, a battle, a fight, a war. That's what Satan is doing. He went to make war with the remnant. That's us. Acts 26:18, I pray this prayer. This is a prayer that God gave me to pray for my husband. He wasn't saved, and I was always praying for my husband to get saved. And God gave me this scripture. To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Jesus said that. An inheritance is an estate derived from an ancestor to an heir by succession. We have been given everything. Jesus left everything that he is and was to us. That's our inheritance. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, in this physical world, your battles are not with people or flesh and blood. My oldest son is a doctor now. And when he went to the place where he would practice medicine, he called me one day, and he was going to be introduced to the hospital where he was, to the staff. He was going to be on staff there now. So they were going to introduce him as the new doctor on staff. Well, that was all fine and good, except there was an older gentleman that was not real happy to have Wade on staff, because the older gentleman did procedures for this clinic that Wade was now a part of. There's 12 doctors there. And they're family doctors, so if someone needs a colonoscopy, endoscopy, stress test, whatever, they sent their people, their patients, to this older gentleman at the hospital, and he would do the procedures. Well, now they've got Wade at their clinic, and he's trained to do all those procedures. So he's a threat to this old man, and he wasn't happy at all to have Wade on staff. So Wade said, here I am being introduced and everything, and this old man stands up and starts railing on me, talking about how inexperienced and all this, you know. And Wade said, I just let him say everything he wanted to say, and then I took out my file, my credentials, and passed them around to everybody so they could see my training and everything. And I said, well, Wade, I am proud of you that you just, you know, you didn't try to defend yourself. You let your credentials defend you. Okay, so later he called me. He says, Mom, be praying for me because, you know that old man I told you about? I said, yeah. He said, well, he's got a campaign to cause me not to be able to practice those procedures in the hospital. And I thought, okay. I said, Wade, let me tell you something, son. That old man is not your problem. Well, you wrestle not with flesh and blood. But now, see, he has a whole different idea and belief, because when he was in college, he got sucked into the Mormon church. See, because he's really smart, and they're very intellectual. And that appealed to him, and I was devastated. But I learned later, I didn't know at that time, you know, how that happened, but in seeking God about it and in learning the things that we learn here, I realized that the way that was able to happen, that deception, was because my papa was a Mason. And there's deception in the Masonic Lodge. And that was in the deception was in the bloodline. My preacher brother I told you about, he was swept into a drug cult when he left home. Then he got saved. But you see how these generational things can be affecting us and our children and our children's children. But God has shown me that Wade is going to come out of that church. But for now, you know, they don't believe at all. I start talking about demons. I got to go, Mom. But I told him, I said, hey, Wade, let me tell you something. You wrestle not with flesh and blood. That man is not your problem. It's a spirit in the man. And the only way you can fight this is in the spirit realm. And it's time for you to learn to do some spiritual warfare. So I sent him a prayer that I have, and he prays it every day. And things are better. He said, I had to tweak it a little bit, though, Mom. I couldn't bring myself to say witch, wizard, warlock, witch doctor. I just call them evil spirits. I said, that'll work. They are evil spirits. As long as you're doing some warfare. Because you know what? That's where the warfare is. And if you're not engaging in spiritual warfare, you are going to get whipped. That's why Jesus said, but now. See, remember the scripture I opened with? When I told you not to bring a purse and all that stuff, lacked you anything? No, but now, take a purse, take your bag, and if you don't have a sword, sell your garment and buy one. Because we are in a war. And it's time to war. 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The enemy was using that man to build a stronghold against Wade. See? Who are your strongholds with? Who are the strongholds in your life? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know what? That's where it all started, in the Garden of Eden, when Satan exalted himself and his temptation above the knowledge of God. We better be very careful not to receive anything that is not in the Word of God. And believe me, there is a lot of stuff coming into the church that is not in the Word of God. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. You hear that quoted pretty often, but not the second part. And this is why we don't see exceeding abundantly above, because it's according to the power that worketh within us. What are you doing with your power? You got it. He gave it to you. He gave you permission to use his name. He's already got the victory. It's through him that you're going to get your victory. And through what he's given you, his name and power over all the power of the enemy. 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith, Paul said. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. For I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Hebrews 10:32. But call to remembrance the former days in which after you were illuminated, ye endured a great fight of afflictions. Remember Jerry said, I didn't have any problems until I got saved. See that? Because why? Because now Satan is on your case. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. You know that darkness that fell over our land? I was sitting on the porch and it got dark. Well, looking back, I know exactly what that was. That was the enemy. He's just letting me know, I know who you are and I know where you are. And I'm going to do a teaching on witchcraft this year because God taught me a whole lot about witchcraft because witchcraft was being used against me. And I didn't know anything about witches until I started having some things happen. Attempts, really, on my life, even, from curses. I had a crash course. And the church needs a crash course in witchcraft because they're very prevalent and they're working everywhere. And because of television shows and things like that, people think it's all figments of your imagination. Oh, those are just fairy tales. Those are just, they've made it that way. That's another strategy of Satan.
That's right.
So you won't believe in it. Because if you find out about it and start working against it, they lose. I read a book one time. I think it was called The Witch That Switched. You know why she switched? Because they were given an assignment by a higher up in the witchcraft government. And they astral projected. They were assigned to go to this pastor's house. They got there, but they could not penetrate this wall of angels that were around his place. Now, if you think they were just there by accident, no, somebody put those angels there. See, we have a problem with presumption. We presume things. But just like he said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? But raise up thy rod. See, we have been given, the angels were given to us. I did a teaching here called the Tools for These Times. The things that God has given us. Angels. He's given us angels. Do we use them? I've started using them and everybody else's that aren't using them. Hey, I'm calling on all those other angels that are standing around doing nothing because people don't know to use them. I'll use them too. Pretty sure that's what saved me from that car wreck. Because I call the angels every day. I put the angels around me and around my children and around the saints of God. I pray for Lake Hamilton. I pray for all the other ministers that are in deliverance, those that I know and those that are not, because they're on the front line. 1 Thessalonians 5:6. Therefore, let us not sleep as others, but let us watch. That means keep awake, be vigilant, awake and watchful, and be sober. Colossians 1:13. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 John 1:11. Speaking of Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Who were his own? And they received him not. There are some who have begun to receive him, but for the most part, they still do not receive him. And yet, we want to pick up the ways of them and have some of their symbolisms in our churches. That's appalling. And they think they're doing a holy thing, but it's offensive. It's all about Antichrist. I'm going to be teaching on that pretty soon, too. I'm not looking forward to that one. But as many as received him, we have, right? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. See, the glory is supposed to be being revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. That's what I'm calling for today from the body of Christ. To be who we were called to be. To begin to understand who we are in him and begin to operate in that way, and therefore releasing the glory of God into the earth. So what are we waiting for? It's time for us to take our places in the army of God. And can I just tell you this? You don't have to wait till you're perfected to do it. Jesus in you is perfect. That's what those scriptures mean. Not all those who say, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven. And they'll say, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we do many mighty works in your name? They did the work. That startled me. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Lord, I need you to help me here, because if people come in your name and they are doing the work, I might be deceived by them. I have a fear of being deceived. So how can I not be deceived if someone comes in your name and they're doing the work? And then you say you never even knew them? He said, I honored my name. It's not about the people. I honor my name. He said, in my name ye shall. Remember one of the disciples, hey, we saw some people and they were casting demons in your name and they didn't come from us and we forbade them. And Jesus said, no, don't forbid them. If they're not against us, they're for us, right? So what are we waiting for? Let's be like David. Let's get on the offense. Let's be on the attack. Jesus Christ has already obtained the victory. But there is a fight to be fought. And that's what I'm calling for from the body of Christ. I did this teaching in September, but I decided I needed to do it again, because that to me is what I am hearing from God. Church, it's time to war. It's time to start fighting this enemy. We're not helpless. So now we're going to cast out some spirits that keep us from fighting. Those that have asked for boldness. We're going to bind those spirits right now that are keeping you from being bold. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit of fear in the name of Jesus. I break the power of the spirit of fear in Jesus' name. Now you speak to it. Fear, get out of me. In the name of Jesus. Timidity. Go. Cowardice. Go. In the name of Jesus. Spiritual MIAs, missing in action. Go in the name of Jesus. That running spirit, the hiding spirit, you go. I call all deserters back into active duty now in Jesus' name. Fear of the devil go. Fear of addressing the enemy. Fear of engaging the enemy. Go in the name of Jesus. All fainting spirit. Weakness. Go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of the conscientious objector. Go. In the name of Jesus. Fear of retaliation from the enemy. You can bind that spirit. I bind that spirit of backlash and retaliation off of every one of you that have received deliverance this camp. I bind it from you. That's a real thing. I never knew about it. I was coming to camp, and I said it to Dr. Null. I said, you know, I go home from camp every time with a migraine headache. I would go home with a migraine headache and like 14 demons in my back seat. I just wanted to pull over and literally open the door and say, get out. I'm sick of you. Get out. Well, I've learned how to fight better. So I now just bind the backlash and retaliation. Actually, I forgot to do it when I had that wreck. And when I got out and looked at that car, I said, you know, I'm thankful to be alive. But is that backlash and retaliation or what? I'm going to be more careful to be binding that backlash and retaliation in Jesus' name. Fear of being attacked.
Fear of being attacked.
Trembling heart.
Trembling heart.
Trembling hands.
Trembling hands.
Knees knocking together for fear.
Knees knocking together for fear.
You see that in the comedy sometimes, the cartoon. You hear it. Well, I tell you something. My husband and I were flying one time. He has a Cessna 150, and we were flying, and we came into some fog. The cloud, you know, they call it ceilings and all this stuff. But anyway, we were flying, and it was like snow, but there's big black spots. And Mike said, those black spots are openings. And in a little while, when we need to go down, because we needed to stop and get gas, we were going to slip down through one of those holes and get gas. Well, we went a little further, and there were no black holes. It was solid white. And I said, I don't like this. He said, well, he said, if it's bad enough, we can always go back to Shreveport. See, because we were going to stop in Louisiana. Okay, so here we are, and it got bad enough. He tried to land. But it was like a white sheet was over that plane. It was scary. When you can't see and he's not instrument trained, I think I'm going to talk him into getting his instrument trained. All we have is a little circle with a plane like this in a line. He says, you keep your eye on that, and I'm going to keep my eye on the altitude. And I'm like, okay, go down on the right, go up on the left, go down, you know. It was nerve-wracking, and Mike had nerves of steel. I was freaking out, and I want to tell you something. When you get really scared, your knees do knock together. My knees were just knocking together. I was like, what's happening? But it was scary. I didn't like that at all. We got down. He called Shreveport. Well, we're going to have to come back. He said, man, you can't come here. We're stopping. And I'm going, oh, Jesus! And Mike said, that's my wife. I'm telling you, my knees were knocking together. And he was very calm, but when we landed, he did run to the bathroom. So. It was very scary. Okay. Fear of doing it wrong.
Fear of doing it wrong.
Fear that it won't work.
Yeah, it won't work.
Let me tell you, I went down to teach a couple of ladies. They wanted me to come teach them. They had heard one of my teachings. We would like for you to come and teach us about spiritual warfare and spiritual authority. Oh, okay. Love that. So I get down there, and while I was sharing the word, she's having manifestations, coughing, spitting, you know. She finally brought a garbage can in there by the table. And after a little while, she went into a full-blown manifestation. I'm telling you, Goliath showed up. Well, they got a crash course in spiritual authority and warfare. It was a preacher's wife, and they had come out of a Baptist church, and an attorney. And there we were. Well, the woman that manifested, the preacher's wife, she picked up her Bible. She was terrified. She ran to the farthest corner in the room, and she's reading scripture. Let me tell you, when the devil shows up, don't read to him. Bind him in the name of Jesus and tell him to get out. You better bind him. He doesn't care how much you read or how much you sing. You're not going to send him away either. Now, he may leave because he didn't like your song. I have a warfare song. You know why? Because in that 14th chapter of Exodus, well, after all of Pharaoh's guys drowned in the water, Miriam sang this song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. Well, you know, they have a song. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider fell into the sea. That was one of the things I did when fear would come. I would start singing the song. And it would change my whole feeling. You know, I would feel empowered singing that song. I couldn't be fearful and sing that song at the same time. Okay. Anyway, when that thing manifested, and it was violent, very violent. And she had asked me to pray for it. I said, you know, I make it a practice not to pray for people when I'm by myself. I need somebody watching my back and praying for me while I'm in the thick of it. Well, it manifested anyway. And I found out me and Jesus are enough.
All right.
I wouldn't make a practice of that because it was pretty daunting. But guess what? Jesus won. She got great deliverance. Her life is different today. It's exciting. Okay. Manipulation by fear. The sons of Sceva syndrome. That's a big one. Preachers always say, well, you better know what you're doing because you don't want to get beat up and stripped and run out naked. And that makes people fearful to encounter the enemy. You've got power over that enemy. I come against all error and wrong teaching in Jesus' name. I come against fear tactics. Deception from the enemy about warfare. The syndrome, that tail tucked between the legs and running. Scaredy cat spirits, you go in Jesus' name. Dismay, feeling like you don't have enough power. I command that spirit to go now in Jesus' name. Refusing to fight, I don't want to. I come against flimsy excuses. I come against laziness and lethargy and sloth. I bind blindness in the name of Jesus and lameness and barrenness. Go in the name of Jesus. Spiritual stupor and slumber. Go in the name of Jesus. Drunkenness, complacency, shirking your responsibility, irresponsibility. I bind irresponsibility and command it to go. Lackadaisical spirit. I'll just let somebody else do it. Or how about the case of Ross Rock? Well, whatever happens, happens. I bind that spirit and command it to go in Jesus' name. Lukewarm spirit, they're going to cause you to be spewed out of his mouth. I break the lie that if you leave the devil alone, he'll leave you alone. I break that lie in Jesus' name. All lying spirits, go in the name of Jesus. Foolishness, go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of deception and false doctrines, doctrines of demons and religious spirits, go in the name of Jesus. All antichrist spirits, you go in the name of Jesus. And now, Lord, I loose on your people diligence. I loose virtue. I loose valor and strength. I loose undaunted courage, boldness, confidence, excellence. I lose bravery in the name of Jesus. I lose authority. Lord, I activate their authority. Lord, I ask that you would reveal to them their authority and teach them how to use it. I lose upon them comprehension and understanding. I lose temperance and patience. I lose calmness and restraint. I lose joy, godliness, and holiness. I lose obedience. I lose brotherly kindness and charity in the name of Jesus. I lose upon them, or I activate in them violence, which means vitally active, energetic, and forceful. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, I ask that you would empower each of them to know who they are, to raise up their rod of authority, to go and in the name of Jesus, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and raise the dead. I lift them to do the gospel of the kingdom of God in Jesus' name and to see victory, to see the victory that you've already attained for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. I thank you that 2015 is going to be the most exciting year for Christians. I thank you, Lord, that we're going to begin to use the power that you've given us and we're going to see great and mighty things. Your word says that your eyes are roaming the earth looking for those to show yourself strong to. Here we are, Lord. We want you to show yourself strong to us. And we thank you for that. We love you, Lord. We love you. We thank you for this camp, for everybody that came, for all the victories that were won. And Lord, I send the mighty angels of God with each person to surround them shoulder to shoulder that no evil penetrates, that they have a safe trip home in Jesus' name. And I bind all that backlash and retaliation. Satan, I render you powerless over the victories that they have gotten here at this camp in Jesus' name. And bring them back. In Jesus' name, we thank you for coming. Lord, we thank you for the food, our Last Supper. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless Rick and all the people that have worked in the kitchen and volunteered in the kitchen, Lord. We just thank you for their servanthood, and we ask you to bless them and the food in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him, heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve.
I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The harps and the lyres fell into the sea. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The harps and the lyres fell into the sea. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord my God, my strength, my song, is now become my victory. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.